Hi, I'm Malcolm Nichols.
And I'm Richard Ayling.
And this is Man Reimagined, a podcast where we, as men, attempt to reimagine ourselves in the 21st century.
How can we respond to the big questions that we're facing, both within ourselves and within society, and make sense of this ever-changing world?
We don't have all the answers, but we do want to create a conversation. So join us moving forward as a man reimagined. Hello, everybody, and welcome once more to another episode of Man Reimagined with myself, Malcolm Nichols, and my very good friend, Richard Ayling, who is, as always, on the other side of this planet of ours. Rich, how you doing, mate?
I'm really well, thanks, Mal. And I just want to start this episode with a little surprise for you, actually. We hadn't talked about this before. Yeah, I just thought I'd do it in real time. It's a bit of good news, like on the sort of Man Reimagined front. I consider it good news, like a little heartwarming story. Awesome. A man kind of reached out and he connected on LinkedIn, and we'd met about 6 years ago at a workshop, and he'd been following my work ever since, and we just got talking, and he really likes the podcast, and he said it's having a really huge impact, and to the point where, you know, we've been talking about, you know, healthy communication and you know, about women and all of these things. And so he works in this IT company, and I'm getting the details a bit blurred, but what I picked up from him was he was making inroads in how he was communicating to other men, which is going to be interesting for today's topic. And the thing that really got me inspired was that he's seeing that there are women in this tech industry that he's working in that, for his company, that are kind of a bit shyer and you know, not feeling comfortable to speak up. And he's like empowering them to kind of speak up in these meetings and take part. And I was like, wow, as a result of like listening to what we've been jibber jabbering about, like, this is amazing. So I just thought I'd sort of surprise you with some good news.
That's that's awesome news, man. Well, that's why we got this started. So that's fantastic to hear, Rich. Thank you for sharing that to me. And you know, this is a little an invitation to anybody else who's listening. If you've had any experiences that you want to share with us, we'd love to hear them, because that type of feedback is just gold, man. That's really wonderful to hear, Rich.
Mate, very, very happy to share that with you. It made my day to read it, and I thought I'd just pass it on. All right, let's dive into this week's podcast. But before we do that, how are you, my friend?
Yeah, I mean, on the one hand, I'm absolutely buggered, but on the other hand, I'm really good. This last few days, I've been on a leadership course on a retreat, so I've kind of ducked out of my life for a wee while and got fully immersed in personal development and personal exploration with a group of people, and it was fantastic. Out of mobile range in the middle of the countryside here in New Zealand, it was just a wonderful few days. And I don't know if you can hear, but my voice is a little bit husky. I had a few good yelling sessions myself just to release some of the pent up energy, anger, sadness that I've held, grief that I've held over for the last wee while. So, you know, I'm feeling renewed and a little bit knackered at the same time. So yeah, thanks for asking, mate. Just quickly, how are you going as well?
Really well. Yeah, it's my mind always goes to the weather as a default. It's so fucking English. let's just ignore that. But it is hot, you know, it's hot here in Lisbon. But no, I'm in a good space. I just had did a podcast interview with a very, very interesting man. And I won't speak too much more about that. We'll save that for when it's released. But that was just like a solo interview by me. And that went pretty deep, actually. So I'm looking forward to that going out in either next week or the week after. So yeah, just enjoying conversations in this world as well.
Fantastic. Well, so Rich, this week, the topic that you and I are going to have a bit of a chin wag about, or an exploration really, is, you know, over the course of, since we've been doing this, as you alluded to, with that feedback that you got from that guy, you know, we have done a number of different podcasts exploring kind of communication and particularly relationships, but often that has been relationships between men and women, you know, more intimate type of relationships. And, you know, even when we did the, we interviewed a couple of gay men last year, and just, it was very much looking more at the intimate side of relationships. So this week, the podcast that we're looking at is coming much more into this idea of men communicating with other men. You know, how to, as mates, how are we communicating with each other, and what are other ways that we can communicate? How could we do it better is essentially what this podcast is all about. So for me, this is actually, I'm really pleased that we're doing this podcast. It was a realization. I think it was last week when you and I were talking that, you know, it was a topic that we've kind of danced around a little bit. We've never really kind of really honed in on, and, you know, I mean, we talk about communication a lot, but just this really honing into men communicating with other men, and not in an intimate way. Well, I mean, in an intimate way, but not because of anything sexual or anything like that. It's just as developing connection, developing intimacy between men, I think is something that needs to be discussed. And so I'm looking forward to us doing that today.
Yeah, I mean, I think you just swore to a lot of people when you said intimacy between men. Like I remember seeing two men on various occasions holding hands, you know, in India when I was there years ago, and going, is everyone gay? Is this like the gayest city? Like, but it was, which would have been a beautiful thing. Like there's places that I've been to, like Sitges in just outside Barcelona. And that really is like the gay capital of Europe. At least it was, I don't know if there's a, you know, an official, like a thing on the web to quantify that, but it was back then, it was like, yeah, this is, and it was so beautiful to see men being able to walk around openly, and women too, like just, it's such a natural, normal thing, I think, and it's beautiful. But in India, it was just men just hanging out, holding hands. I think about England and growing up and mates, and that just would not be the done thing at all. And there's so many layers and levels of how men show up around each other that I'm looking forward to diving into as well. And just to, you know, raise a flag and say, look, let's not sink into how men are in each country and just speak to from our own experience, right? And hope that and guess that there's plenty of men out there when we speak from our own truths that are resonating with us, going, yeah, I can see that. So yeah, I'm keen to dive into.
Yeah, exactly. And you know, and to be clear, this is very much just about helping us as guys. There's a lot of conversations nowadays around men's mental health and the fact that we need to be more open about how we're feeling and things like that. But this conversation that we're having, I think, is actually more than that. It's not just about mental health, I think, why we need to deepen our levels of conversation. I mean, it's I think our ability as men to create bonds with each other is, you know, I certainly, speaking from my own life experience, you know, a real bond with like you and I have, and some of the other mutual friends that we've got, you know, having that really deep bond with another man just is so grounding and so special for me. And it's it holds me in a different place, you know, to be able to know that there are men in this world that I can reach out to and really deeply connect with. And it doesn't need to be for any serious way, but it just to know that kind of connection exists for me with other men is so important. And so that's why I think this conversation that we're about to have, this is what it is for me, really. It's more than just mental health. Having said that, you know, obviously being able to communicate in a really open and honest and deep way absolutely is good for our mental health. But yeah, just wanted to make that point, that clarity of it, that the fact that this is more, that it's more than just helping us feel a bit better.
Nice. And it's also worth throwing in, like I put the question out on social media recently, what should men be talking about? You know, what could we be working on? And I'd say it's maybe 70% women responding, which is interesting in of itself. Just a lack of men speaking up and communicating what they're thinking. I had some great responses, but a lot of them were around this idea of, you know, expressing what they're thinking, like talking about things, whether it's failures, learnings, but this sense of actually men speaking about this stuff and to each other. You know, it would be great to start to be able to have more of these kind of conversations and drop in kind of our defenses. And I guess that's a point to come back to later on and the reasons for that. But it's something that women are also really wanting us to be able to do more of as well. Not that that's why we should be doing it, but it's also really healthy just to, and helpful maybe to hear, you know, women sort of going, well, yeah, we'd love men to be doing more of this.
Yeah, totally. So, I mean, here's a question for you, Rich. I mean, why? I mean, this is a bit of a setup question, and you know, we've talked about this in the past, but in reference to this, you know, why do you think that as men what do you think is the stereotype of how people perceive men to communicate now? As in, you know, if we were to go and check in with other, go and ask a random selection of men and women to say, in what way do you think men communicate? What do you think that is?
I'm resistant to speaking for men in general. I'm learning that's a healthy thing. But in my experience and the people around me, it's that men don't talk. I mean, there's a whole talk that I give on exactly that subject. We don't really communicate. And I know I've said it on this podcast before, so apologies, but it's worth reiterating that this story of a woman she was with her partner and he'd been hanging out with his friend all day. And she said, well, you know, how is Jeff? And he's like, I don't know. What did you talk about all day? Well, you know, stuff. It's like, what? Like, how, you don't even know how he's doing. It's like, so the things that we talk about, I think, tend to be a bit more surface level. I think that men tend to bond more on topics like around sport, or, you know, if there's a shared interest, whether it's tech or something like that, but that we don't tend to engage at least immediately on how we actually are. And as a man who's always needed and wanted that, when I've reached out to other men and led with those kind of deeper kind of questions, I've often, you know, been received with a wall of silence and just kind of a stony kind of face. And now I understand that it's more kind of fear and a lack of like an ability to know how to respond to that, because I think we've also been brought up to believe that men shouldn't be talking about feelings and we just haven't learned how to navigate that. So if there's an image that comes to mind, it's especially growing up in England, it's of, right, mate, how's it going? Yeah, pretty good, mate. Yeah, you, do you want beer? Yep.
Yeah.
And then the beer, you know, kind of would open up a vein of conversation and more connection. But it's kind of chuckle, and it's I think superficial is a fair word, but it's rarely kind of like, you know, what are you struggling with, mate? You know, like, how are you actually doing? These aren't questions that tend to come up. We just kind of get to the end of the night, we're all very pissed, and it's like, sure, mate, I'm not gay or anything, but I fucking love you, mate. I fucking love you, mate. You know what I mean? Yeah, mate, yeah. And then it just kind of goes off on this like torrent of like all this stuff we have been holding back, and then the next morning, shame, and just let's not talk about what happened last night.
Yeah.
You know, so that's kind of my experience and image of the England that I grew up in anyway.
Yeah. And I mean, what I'm always curious, because, you know, that certainly the way you've described it would be my judgment as well. And absolutely, to be clear, it's just a judgment. There's lots of other, I mean, there's plenty of men who communicate well and we do it great. And we look at, you know, we're attempting to do it now, but just the stereotype that we've been landed with is kind of what we're exploring here. And I mean, I'm, do you have a sense of why that is, why we are where we are as men in our, with our levels of communication?
I mean, it wasn't taught, you know, to our fathers, you know, and then our fathers' fathers. I still think the impact of these two world wars was colossal, at least in kind of Western culture. Pent up aggression, rage, PTSD undealt with, that was, you know, expressed in very unhealthy ways on partners and kids, and just an inability to talk about emotions. It's just kind of, it's a cycle, and it continues to be passed down. I think that the strongman image, which, you know, we've been branded with, you know, to have all our shit together, which is this kind of archaic fossil remains of, you know, the provider that we used to be, which is just so no longer relevant, is kind of trapping us. And this role of provider and I've got to have my shit together. And it means that we don't reach out and for help and support. And so if it's not being modeled for us, or if it's in some way considered feminine, there's a loaded word, to, you know, or touchy feely to be working or talking about emotions, you know, vulnerability is a swear word again, then yeah, then what hope have we got? It's all nonsense, right? And so then again, I think referenced it in the last podcast we did together, where you've got the macho guy that's holding it all in and boiling inside, or perhaps numb inside. And then you've got the guy that's like completely on the other scale, and is just reaching out with all of his stuff and doing his best to work with his emotions, but doesn't quite know how to hold himself together in some way. So, I mean, this is a rough spectrum, but those would be my reasons for kind of where it comes from. And again, that's probably just the tip of the iceberg, you know, but that's my sense. What about you? What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I think a lot of what you said really resonates. I mean, I absolutely agree with the war. You know, I always think back to my grandfather. You know, he just such a beautiful, soft, caring, kind man. But, you know, there's so much he didn't talk about because of the war. You know, the 3 years he had over there, like, so a massive part of his life was shut off, which also meant that it kind of shut a lot of stuff off. And I think, so I absolutely think that that's probably part of it. I think Victorian times probably has a lot to do with it as well. You know, the real, you know, in so many ways, we're still living the bloody hangover of that Victorian England industrial age, right? Where for whatever reason, that kind of stoic, non-expressive human beings. I think women at that time were also caught in that thing. I think men are still stuck in that, and the problem, like you've said, is that it's just been passed down generation to generation, and for the last few generations, and so it's absolutely without any kind of role models, it makes it difficult. I mean, I remember my dad in the 80s, after my parents separated, you know, he went off and did a lot of personal development work, and a lot of trying to free the shackles that he had around himself, and becoming more expressive. But, you know, in some ways it was, as he was doing that you know, there you talked about that pendulum swing of having, you know, either the stoic male going all the way over to that kind of overly, you know, the man who kind of struggling to find both a, you know, masculine, feminine, and getting caught in between and not really finding a home in either camp, you know what I mean? And and it's not that he has to find a camp, but just kind of struggling to find some ground. And I think, you know, so we're still in some ways where we are right now. I think our generation is still trying to find how it is to be a man who is comfortable in the ability to express himself, where it comes naturally, where it's not a forced or a behavior that has kind of been learnt without any real coherence or practice, if you get what I mean. So, you know, I think it does absolutely, it feels like it's the vanguard, it's shifted, and that we're kind of, it does feel now that we're breaking free of that Victorian stuff, but that's my sense of where it comes from. after plenty of reflection, and I'd love to be proved. I'd love to have more. If anybody's got any more information on that, I'd love to know it. But that's certainly my sense of it all. Yeah. So, I guess, you know, so I mean, understanding that, you know, we're here because of historical reasons, and that it's been an uncomfortable place for a lot of guys to go to. And I'm sure you and I, Rich, I certainly speaking for myself, I know there's lots of times where I still find it uncomfortable to really knock, you know, to open the door and let another man in, and also to show myself in my full light with my vulnerability and everything. I mean, what is it that you think that whole, leaving aside the historical stuff that what we've learned, what are the key kind of emotions that you think we've got going on inside us as men when it comes to this kind of deeper connecting with our friends?
I don't know about that. Key emotions. I mean, I think that we all experience like a range of emotions. And for me, it's the inability to kind of articulate and express them. And you can go on courses that help you with this kind of thing, but ultimately there's enough shelf help out there and online work, but it's in practice, you know, and in an everyday situation where this is really going to work. You and I can go to a circle or some kind of event around personal development, and chances are then the men there are going to be more open. Whereas, you know, when I was invited to a dinner the other night, and I really enjoyed it, but I reflected afterwards how I'd kind of gone back to my default setting around men, and it was like, oh wow, that's interesting. So there's something in me that's kind of automatic, and also, you know, I really have to consciously kind of go in and see if I can open up the conversation, but it's work at the same time. So I mean, the emotions that I notice in me, you know, there's almost a sense of a lack of. It's kind of, if the conversation is going in a certain direction and it's fairly you know, about your job or something like that, I tend to kind of switch off. It doesn't open up stuff in me, you know. It's like, if someone asks me about my job, I mean, my job is interesting, but it's also like, you know, there's so much else we can sort of tap in on. And so I try to, with men and women, and indeed anyone, begin a conversation a bit differently, you know, because we're all locked in, a lot of us are locked in automatic patterns of, and societal constructions and rules about how we engage and what's okay and what's not okay to say at the beginning, right? And so that's kind of, that's one way of looking at it. But if we dial it down to friends, as you mentioned, like I can't be really good friends with people that won't kind of speak to this kind of stuff. That's just, I can't, you know, friendship for me means kind of being open. And it doesn't mean having a deep, tearful conversation each time, but it means being able to be real with each other. And if we can't do that, then I do tend to tense up, and I do tend to experience frustration, you know. And I think that I think it's mirrored as well in the other person, because there's an attempt on one side to connect, and it doesn't quite work. And I just find that men are often, myself included, quite kind of cagey around each other when we meet, and something like beer really tends to help that. But it's almost like, who's this guy? Is he a threat? You know, we don't feel that way around women so much. There's more of a masquerading or a parading kind of sense sometimes, right? Especially if we're interested in them, but we're much more relaxed, I would say. So these are the kind of things that I notice coming up in me around men in general. How would you answer that same question?
Yeah, well, because for me, I think, you know, there's a big underlying emotion that I find myself in myself is fear, right? This sense of fear bubbling up around rejection is one. But you know, putting something out there and having it not be seen or being honored, you know, like the classic piss take that often can happen between men, you know, like which is a really big one in New Zealand, you know, we take the piss out of each other and whatnot, and you know, so the fear of putting something out there is such a big underlying emotion that I feel, and alongside that I notice too is pride, like that sense of pride around not wanting to look like I'm strong, or not wanting to look like I can't handle the situation, right? So that kind of self-level of pride that I'm okay, you know, and that I've noticed in myself and in others is a really hard thing for guys and myself to acknowledge that is there, and that's influencing my ability to be open in my communication. But yeah, certainly this fear, I think the fear of rejection is quite a big one for me.
That's an interesting one. Like that piss taking thing again, like I actually, now I can handle it and I find it really healthy, and it's almost like it's a playfulness. Yeah. It's like a testing in a way. And it was described to me a while back as not being able to kind of handle another man's energy. You know, it's like they're not even firing like a warning shot across the bows. You know, it's not like a threat. It's just like a, how can you take this? And in the past, I couldn't, you know, I didn't even know how to deal with that. And I did feel rejected immediately, as opposed to if I were to have stood my ground and laughed and understood that what was going on, and then just fire back my own. And it becomes like camaraderie. And like when we do this healthily as men, I think that's a way that we can learn to trust and respect each other. That's great. But there's this fear of rejection underneath it as well.
Absolutely. I mean, God knows I love a good piss take. Absolutely. Yeah. That's certainly just noticing that. I mean, I think it's just a reflection for me around what might stop the opening up, and that feels like one of them. I think too, I mean, here's a really interesting one as well, Rich, and this is coming from, you know, both of us work in the world of the body, and you know, we've talked a lot about somatics and how we are and how we live in our bodies, how embodied we are. And I think that the male posture is one that is often uninviting. It's not, you know, it can often be really quite hard. It's either can be quite hard or quite closed off, you know, and combinations of there. And it can actually feel quite difficult when I'm with somebody who's got that kind of posture. It's like there's no invitation for me to be open with them.
What and, posture do you mean? Can you just give us a visual?
Yeah, so visually, so a couple of postures that I'm talking about. Like one is the kind of the puffed out chest, you know, the slightly peacocky posture that I certainly see a lot of men and body, you know, and it's
pure defensiveness, right?
Yeah, it's defensive, but it's also overlay, like there's an overlay of toughness that goes with it. You know, it's kind of trying to put it's a tough facade.
Right, you know, it's trying to be assertive, I guess.
Yeah, assertive. And it's coming through the body, but it's, you know, I mean, taken to an extreme, it's that kind of really tough bully kind of a posture, you know, but you've got layers too. You don't have to, it's not everybody wears it who goes around like that as a tough bully, but it exudes just this level of, I'm just being a little bit tough, which also makes it, it's also slightly challenging to a degree, I find. And that, and certainly from my experience, I witnessed a lot of guys do that posture. But another one that is just this, and when I say closed off, and this is a one that's getting more and more happening now with mobile devices and screens and laptops, because we're always crunched over. But it's also a real emotional posture. It's one where the chest is slightly caved in a little bit, and we're just and the rounded shoulders and the head's up, but the chest and everything is closed off. It's like kind of like the heart's been, the heart has been protected, and as a consequence of that, it feels as if there's no, again, there's no invitation. It's a wall is up there as a protector. And there are a couple of examples that I notice a lot, right? I mean, they're two very different energies, but both of them prevent this invitation, or that they don't have an invitation to come in for a conversation. And for me, I think this is a thing that doesn't get discussed often enough when it comes to this ability for us to develop more open and intimate relationships with each other and conversations with each other. The conversation around how inviting we are in our bodies, how open we are and relaxed we are in our bodies. When we're like that, it really invites another person in, as opposed to something which pushes us away or keeps us out, is the other way of looking at it.
Well, yeah, I mean, like one day we'll just be floating spheres of energy that just kind of gently bounce into and off each other and like, oh, hello, how are you doing? You know, but for now we are still apes trying to deal with the fact that there's millions of us, you know, like in cities, and, you know, there's a lot of us got their own stuff going on, and we don't even realize how guarded we are when we step out of the door in the morning sometimes. And, you know, those days when something goes really well and you're just like, da, 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 and you're strutting down the street, you know, and you're feeling good, like you're open. And then that energy kind of just vibes off, and someone else is like, oh, you're looking chipper, mate. And it's like, there is a sense of invitation there, but
that's right.
We don't tend to, I don't think so many of us are as aware of how we're doing down the street. God knows. I can also just sort of stomp down the street if I'm not in a good mood, and let's not, if we come back to communication, let's not forget like the impact that can have on women. I mean, that's a separate podcast, and we've kind of touched on that, but how women also have to kind of try and sort of perceive their way home and around, and it's like, oh, what does he want? Is he smiling? Is he doing this? And, you know, they're kind of much more on guard, I would say, around men, whereas we're just with each other, it sometimes feel like, you know, it's more that kind of what's going on here? You know, is this a threat? How much of a threat it is? You know, that I guess this is my experience, but like and if that is the way that I am unconsciously interacting with people, then it takes a lot of awareness and intent to just kind of override that, and then just go up to a guy and just break through that nonsense, and then it can be a sentence, and then suddenly we can be getting on, because I can be stuck in my head and then someone next to me will just say something innocuous and jokey, and then it's like, oh, what was I thinking, you know? So a lot of it is sort of conditioning. We're still in our own heads a lot of the time, and it can be broken quite easily, I think.
Yeah totally. So I mean, I'm quite curious now to kind of shift into, so if we were to, you know, start to, I mean, the far be it for us to tell everybody how you know everybody should go about as men, you know,
and yet
five things that, and yet yeah, so here are the five things. What would be the few things that you could, that, you know, from your perspective, when it comes to men developing this ability to be more open with other men, with our friends, you know, to really deepen our relationships and to be able to open up more, express more, to feel more comfortable in that space, what are some things that you share, that you teach, that have come from out of your experience that you can share with us now, Rich?
Oh, I'm okay, it's me, got it. Like, I mean, ground zero for me is, before we even start reaching out to communicate with other people, it's like, how are we communicating with ourselves? And so then that brings in the flavor of self-worth. And, you know, I'm very hard on myself. And, you know, I've heard a lot of people say that. I think we tend to be, but I definitely tend to be. And so when I'm kinder to myself, that really opens the door. It opens my heart, for want of a better phrase, you know. And then I found ways to make that more the case, you know. And there's certain things I can do in the morning, like not jump on my phone, not look at certain news items or whatever, and instead just, you know, go for a quick walk and have a coffee, be in the park, or do some qigong, tai chi, and some meditation. These things work for me, right? So everyone's got to find their own version of how they can actually be kinder to themselves first thing, you know, that kind of morning ritual, if you will, and work on like their own self-talk. I think that goes a long way. But that's, you know, like I said, ground zero. That's not communicating with other people. I just think it's a great place to start. But if we're to reach out to other people, I think definitely doing it with our friends first. Yeah, like people that we already have some kind of established relationship with, rather than trying our luck walking up to random men in the park.
Yeah, no, they
like ambulance calls will be, you know, kind yeah. of it will increase genuinely. So reaching out to friends and I guess being willing just to ask a deeper question of our friends, and actually make them feel seen and heard, you know. Like, mate, like, I don't often ask you this, but, you know, like, how you doing? Like, really, like, I've noticed ... and just kind of creating the space and an invitation for them to speak to some of this stuff. Because a lot of the time men in this context just need a sense of permission. So that would be my that would be where I'd like to start, but I'll fire it back at you.
Yeah, look, I am absolutely 100% with you in that the starting point is with ourselves, that kindness with ourselves. And you know, and I love the practices that you talked about. I mean, for me, kindness, you know, I feel it. It's like an embodied or a physical sensation of, you know, softening and softening around my heart. And I know that often, you know, men would find even that terminology quite challenging. But for me, it's a beautiful description about what being more open is to myself and to other people, is a softening around my heart. And I think, you know, James Fishgill, he kind of talked a little bit about this type of thing when in our conversations with him. For me, it's like an internal physical experience that I can sense and feel in myself. And what I know is that when I do that in myself, and I know what that feels like in myself, if I can then take that and hold on to that type of feeling when I'm with somebody else, it really makes a difference in the way that conversation goes. It's almost like at that point, I don't really even need to say as much, because the space between us is there's an invitation simply in the space. You know what I mean? So that for me is a really big practice, learning how to do that. And there's I love the kindness and generosity, you know, those kinds of words to ourselves, that all feeds into that experience. And I certainly also agree that this reaching out, I mean, one of the big things that has happened for me over the last few months or a year and a half, really, with my wife's cancer is, you know, and you're a classic example of this, Rich, you know, where, you know, you will reach out to me and go, how are you doing? So, and that is very different to when somebody says to you, hey, mate, I'm always here. Just reach out whenever you need me. Because, you know, like they you know, right. It's the same.
Right.
It's an invitation, but one is I'm not having to put any effort into it. It's like the simple act of you reaching out to me gives me permission just to kind of go, oh, thank you, man. And it actually makes me quite emotional when I feel that kind of generosity, that love and generosity, when somebody actually does that, versus I know that it's coming from a place of kindness and love. Somebody saying, hey, mate, I'm here for you. Just reach out whenever you need me. But it's often not that easy, you know, because that takes it to make that first step is the hardest step. I think I'm going to say that anybody can make, but certainly I can make. And I wouldn't hesitate to say that most men would make that first step, actually picking up the phone, you know, doing walking through or whatever. That's so fucking big. So if somebody takes that step away from me by actually reaching out, I mean that there is a great, great gift. And I think that kind of instantly sets the scene. You know, and then because you're open to start asking questions. It's like, mate, as you just said, you know, you beautifully said it before. It's like, man, how are you doing? What's really going on? And you can actually ask quite an intimate question quickly when you take the effort to reach out, you know, to actually call somebody and ask them how you're doing. I think it's really beautiful. And so for me, that there are a couple of really big things. And you know, another skill that I've really learned over the years, which I think is so invaluable when it comes to deepening a relationship, is being able to be there and hold the space when somebody is has got something to share. Because I think part of the whole, either the piss taking or the, this whole thing about guys wanting to solve problems and, you know, solve the problems of each other and whatnot, come up with answers, is we do that is because we are uncomfortable when we don't know what to do, right? When we can't fix a problem, guys get really uncomfortable. I get uncomfortable, I should say, you know. And so learning to actually be there with somebody and just hold the space for them and their pain and their discomfort and whatnot is another gift. Like, it's a huge pleasure. You've done it to me so many times, and a number of guys have done it to me so many times, where you've just kind of held me. There's nothing that you can do in this situation, but you're still there, you know. You're there. You don't even need to say. I mean, in fact, sometimes, and we have this in our circles sometimes, the most powerful times are when nothing is said, we're just in the space together. And that is like the greatest bond of friendship. It's so, and I'll use the word again, I mean, it's so intimate, but it's so grounded, and it's so masculine often as well, right? It just feels, it's like there's a power to it that just feels so beautiful. And you know, so that is a skill for men to be able to develop, that, you know, certainly one that I've really worked on trying to develop, just that ability to hold that space. And and then finally, I've got the this is going to sound quite funny, but I actually think when it comes to our friends and developing deeper relationships, I would say it's okay to date our mates. And what I mean by that is it's actually fucking good to actually go out and just have a dinner with our friends, you know. It doesn't, not going to the pub or whatever, but just actually go out and have dinner with each other and do things that are, you know, they're not the standard boozy or stuff that we're trying to avoid. I mean, by all means, go up and do that, but actually just have some time where we're together in an environment where we can, you know, you can have conversations. It's so cool. I love it, actually. It's really, and really vital. Yeah. So there's some, I mean, that's just some reflections for me, Rich, that certainly I've learned for myself in terms of deepening my relationship with my friends. With my male friends.
Yeah, I'd love to jump back to the piece around holding space. And I think that can be confusing or triggering language. I agree with everything that you just said, but like another way to frame it perhaps is that there's no need to fix your friend. There's no need to do anything. You know, and like you said that, it's like we're uncomfortable in that space when someone says like, I'm not okay. And then our brains often go to like, well, how can I help him? How can we fix this? Because if we can speak in terms, and I'm less keen to do it these days, of masculine and feminine, because it's so loaded.
Yep.
But if we go with the idea of the masculine seeking freedom and just nothingness, you know, it's like we just want that tension resolved, you know, as humans. You know, we want that tension resolved. And the tension builds up when there's like, you know, there's a break. It's like, I'm not okay, or this is happening. And then as men, we often look to fix and, you know, for different reasons, but then we feel uncomfortable in that space, you know, and then it's like, I don't know what to say. Therefore I'm, you know, I'm not helpful. I'm not, you know, and then the judgments can often come in, as opposed to learning to, and I've had to do this, hold the space for yourself, you know, like just hold that tension, just let it be there. It's like, okay. And just see what happens when you actually don't try and fix the situation. God knows how many times I've heard it from women in my life and in other situations that a woman's like, look, I just needed you to hear me say that, you know? And why is it any different when men like are expressing something? It isn't, you know, like there's no difference. It's just like, listen, and then listen again, you know, don't zone out completely. That's not the difference. So often we would, if we don't say anything out of fear and tension, then we're kind of looking out the window, wishing we were somewhere else. And then that man will feel abandoned. So it's a case of like, fuck, this is uncomfortable for me. God knows how it must be for him. And then the choice to then just kind of lean in, not physically, of course, he'll give you a slap, I expect, but to lean in emotionally, be like, yeah, like, simple question, you know, like, what do you need? It's a question. It's like, you know, how can I support you? Yeah, I've asked you that several times. It's like, well, you're doing it. Thank you.
Yeah.
Just as you've written, like, you know, to be present with someone else's pain or suffering or whatever it is. But on the flip side, you know, celebrating with another man, that's almost another podcast in of itself. But let's park that. But, you know, our ability to celebrate each other is also kind of non-existent a lot of the time. But it's that willingness to sit in the same energy that another man or another human is vibing off, so to speak, or to put it in a more grounded way, just to sit with however they're feeling and be like, okay, like I'm here. And to know that we're not alone is gold. It's absolute gold. That's what happens in circles, isn't it? Someone will share. And at the end of the circle, they're like, I feel so much better for having shared that. I don't feel judged. You know, I just felt really accepted and seen with what was going on for me. And they're often most of the time clear on what they need to do themselves. We don't need to fix them. But the men's resistance and inability to do that, because again, we haven't had that modeled or trained. It's like, it's life-changing. That's what I do for a living, but I also do it with friends, family, and, you know, like we have to override something here, but it's a choice to do that.
Yeah. I know you said park the joy, but you know, just to, I actually didn't want to for a moment, and that's just simply to say that that it does, certainly that has been one of the greatest gifts, I think, of learning how to really deepen my relationships with other men, is that it's like there's a fit, that the feeling of joy that I get in the moments of knowing that there's that I'm completely safe and open with this guy, with this man that I'm with, this mate that I'm with, and the freedom of expression that it gives me. It's like the fears and anxieties I took, when they disappear and I can just completely be 100% myself and feel, allow that expression of joy to be inside me, and to be able to share that properly and fully with somebody else that for me is the reward that I feel from having deep intimate relationships with other men. It's that fulfilling feeling of joy. I mean, the amount of times that Rich, when we were, you know, in Bali, sitting out in the back of those in the lineup, and it would just me, you, Rob, and the
surfing,
a few of the boys surfing, and just the joy sharing those moments with all the guys, it was, you know, so powerful. I don't even really have the words for it, but you know, that comes about because of that deep relationship, I think, that we formed through our openness and connection with each other. And you know,
it's so often formed or experienced through alcohol, though, isn't it? Like,
that's
typically,
right, exactly.
But if you look at, I mean, football, just to take one example, there's a lot of history to it. But you know, in countries where you're actually allowed to kind of bring alcohol, then it's a really beautifully experienced thing. But we don't need that. Like, when the whole thing is like this kind of tension of like trying to, you know, score a goal and beat the other team. And when a goal is scored, especially in those matches where it really means something, men go berserk. You know, they hug each other. They're like, there's these rare moments, yeah, of elation.
Right.
But it's beautiful to watch, isn't it? It's like,
it is. It's awesome.
When you watch
to be in it is amazing as well.
Yeah. When you watch the person actually score the goal, like, it's always a weird thing if they just kind of run off on their own and they're just, you know, initially they'll be that ego kind of like, yeah, check me out. But then if they were to ignore their teammates, or their teammates were to ignore them, we'd think that there was definitely something wrong. It's like, there's something about like men kind of coming together and doing all of that. And of course, it's the same with women and women's football. And it's a human thing. So like, why aren't we able to do more of that? And why is it that alcohol is the thing that tends to allow us to do that, you know, in general, in everyday life? Like, we want to do that. That's our nature. And yet I think that we also struggle to really celebrate and be joyful with each other without the aid of like a emotional lubricant.
Yeah. Well, I'm hoping that some of the stuff that we've shared in this podcast, Ritual, might help remove some of the need for that social lubrication and start to provide maybe an idea, a route into how men can, certainly this is the stuff that we've shown today, is certainly it's personal experience of what's allowed me to deepen my relationship, and it's what I've witnessed from you, and of what I've witnessed from other men who are really close to me, who I really admire and I'm grateful for having in my life. It's some of the qualities that we've talked about tonight. So I really hope that, I mean, this is the type of information that I hope that we can share more widely, because I know that it's made just such a transformational difference to not just my friendships, but my sense of value. You know, it's kind of fed my sense of self-worth. You know, you talked about cultivating that in ourselves, but also having that deep connection with other men and other people, but other men, you know, it kind of almost puts that fire back into that level of self-worth that kind of they build upon each other. And my hope is that is that we, you know, as men, we are able to find the space where we can shift gears and develop these more deeper, richer relationships with each other.
Oh.
Well, mate, are we done?
I mean, there was I was sort of aware of like the reason that we brought this podcast together, because there was one kind of moment when you and I, we'd have to go into the roots and the weeds of it, but we haven't really talked about conflict either, and how like,
no, when, you're true.
You know, there's this, when there's two people, again, it's men in this context, but there's two friends, right? And there's often a holding back and a not saying anything, you know, like we kind of tend to avoid conflict and there's courses and there's so many useful tools, with authentic relating and nonviolent communication being some of the most profound in my opinion. But like, because you and I have learned these, when we potentially experience, there was a moment where it was like, I think I want to say this to this guy. He's a close friend. And how do I say this? And how is he going to take it? But because of how we managed to do that and the friendship that we've built up, we were able to overcome it super easily, right? And it was just like, of course, you know? So I don't know if that's worth kind of, we can cut this out if it's not going anywhere.
No, absolutely. I actually think it's, on the cutting room floor. I think this is a great little piece to finish off with, actually, and thank you for bringing it up, because actually using the example that you're talking about, because it's a very recent example, it was only a week or so ago, right? And it was one of those situations where the both of us were sensing that something, you know, there was an edge, there was just an unspoken edge that was sitting there between us. And essentially what it was, without going into too much detail, was that I was feeling and noticing that I wasn't quite living up to some of the agreements that I had made with you, that I said I was going to do a couple of things and I hadn't done them. I know I had good excuses, but you know, that it was still that I hadn't done them, and so that was on my side, which was a little bit of guilt and a little bit of probably of anxiety. And then on your side, you can speak to it, but on your side, there was just a little edge around that. And as you just said, it was like, do I say something about it? Should I just drop it? And in a phone call between the two of us, it was there. Like the edge was present too, but because we were aware of the way that we interact, we were both picking up on something, right? And the beautiful thing is that you were, I apologized for something that I just kind of apologized and said I was going to get my shit together. And you were brave enough at that point to go, thank you for that, because this is how I've been feeling. And you took the step to name what was going on. And the power, and there's so much power in being willing to do that. Not to score a point, but being willing to do it because you value the relationship. And I think that was the point, right? That's the big point that I got. It's like you value the relationship, and it's really important to make have the relationship feel clean and caring. And what you did was that by taking that risk, you kind of doubled down on it. You've made it even more caring and connected because of the willingness to be open and about how you were feeling. That was what I got from that experience. What do you think? What have you got to add?
Not much. I mean, like, thanks for framing it like that. And you know, this isn't me kind of sat on a high horse or a throne going, all follow my example. It was just like it was hard. You know, it's like our relationship, our friendship means a lot to me. This podcast, how we work together, and you know, in the future, it might be the other way around. And if there's something out of integrity, and I don't mean a human, I just mean there's something out of alignment that's not right. And it's like, it grates, right? When we need to hold each other and ourselves like accountable. And that actually is that's what a good friendship is. And it's like telling someone something that they maybe don't want to hear, but from that place of like love, you know, it's stuff I think we often avoid. Because it's difficult, and we're afraid again of rejection, and this goes beyond men. But if men, as I believe, lack the communication skills more than women, then it makes it doubly hard. And so it was just one example of like, okay, there's a tension here. What is it? Okay, like, how can I speak to it? Okay, there's nerves coming up. And taking the charge out of it, and instead of going, okay, this is what my problem is, going, okay, look, mate, I'm nervous about this because like you're a friend and I don't know how this is going to come out right. And as soon as and this is really a helpful piece. I was working with a client just before this call and saying exactly the same thing on his relationship to his father. It's like, start off with that place of like, okay, I'm not sure this is going to come out right. I feel uncomfortable saying this. And immediately it puts the other person in a place of like, kind of empathy, pathos, maybe just like, oh, wow. Like, okay, wow. Okay. This is difficult for this person. He cares, you know, and then coming in with the thing and then making a request, which is, I guess, you know, loosely kind of nonviolent communication approach. But like, this is where I'm at. Like, would it be possible to dot, dot, dot? And that kind of opens up the conversation. So I do feel like there's much more of a podcast we could talk into and break it all down, you know, in step by step. Yeah. It's really useful work. Yeah. But again, the will, you know, if you care, the will is not to avoid. Because so many people I know that it's like they've got this thing with someone, and it's like, just fucking say something. Just deal with it. You know, better out than in. Like there's many phrases over time that are there for a reason. And yeah, it comes down to a choice.
It does. It comes down to a choice and a willing to, because it's a willing to pay attention a little bit, right? Because it was, you know, when there's that just that little bit of niggle there, it doesn't go away, right? Once there's a little niggle, once it bubbles up, and if it's not looked at, it very quickly becomes into that situation of, you know, if it hadn't have been sorted out then, you know, we both probably would have thought it over it and between then and the next time that we'd spoken to each other. And it could well have been that there was a little bit of anxiousness or underlying kind of niggle that might have been carried into that next phone call. And that's how conflict evolves, right? Just that inability to see it when it arises and to take steps to talk to it. And I absolutely think it would be a great podcast to go through the steps, just to actually be really clear on what are some really good ways for people to address these little niggles before they kind of blow up and turn into a bit more of fire and brimstone. But I mean, for now though, where this fits in this whole idea of men developing deeper and more intimate connections with each other and deepening our friendships is this willingness to, with kindness and love, to name what is going on between the two of you, to take the brave step of saying, you know, I've just noticed that something's not right, or something didn't feel right. Well, you know, and putting a name to how you're feeling about that and checking with the other person, just made it's so powerful. So, and that was a very powerful experience last week for sure.
Aho again.
Aho, aho. Now are we done?
Yeah. I need a piss. So let's wrap it up.
Beautiful, mate. Hey, Rich, once more, this has been a wonderful conversation, and I'm looking forward to hearing the conversation that you had earlier on that you alluded to. I haven't actually heard that one, so I'm looking forward to that. And I know that in the next week or so, we've got a couple more interviews that are looming large. So we've got some good stuff on the horizon, and this conversation we've just had now kind of fits in beautifully with it all.
Indeed, sir. Thank you. Love you, mate. You know,
yeah, love you too,
working
mate.
With you. Just get some brotherly hugs and love, and then fade out and then play the outro music and off we go.
That's all right, exactly. And goodbye. See you, mate. Have a good week. Take care.
You too, matey. Ciao.
Ciao. From this week's podcast, if there's been anything that's inspired you, challenged you, or simply left you wanting more, then please reach out to Richie and Mal via their Facebook page, Man Reimagined. Just like you, we're trying to get a handle on all of these issues and topics, so the more we're able to share and talk about them, I think the better off we're all going to be. Until next time, catch you later.